Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Faith Community Church Online. Thank you for joining us today. I want to wish you all a happy Memorial Day weekend and just say thank you for making us a part of your holiday. It's good to be with you. My name is Tim. I'm one of the pastors here at Faith Community Church. And we are continuing our series this morning called Last Things First, which is a look at what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's a summary of the things that Jesus taught as he traveled around the countryside teaching about the kingdom of heaven. And this week, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. If you want to find that in your Bibles or whatever it is that you use to follow along, we're going to be wrapping up the body of this sermon from Jesus this morning. Now, like most good teaching, Jesus has a phenomenal introduction to his sermon, where he lays out for us his vision for who we're called to be. He says things at the start of his sermon like, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek and the peacemakers and so on. And he says, you are called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. It's an amazing introduction. And then in the body of the sermon, most of Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus teaches about what those kinds of people will be like in the world and their relationship to each other, their relationship to God, and their relationship to the most basic concerns of our lives. It's an amazing sermon. And next week, Tim Porter is going to be teaching from the conclusion of this amazing sermon. So here's just a little spoiler, a sneak peek at what's coming next week as we wrap up this series. In the conclusion of his sermon, Jesus leaves us with an invitation to consider and a decision to make. He's going to lay before us next week two paths to choose from, two different kinds of fruit that our lives could bear, and two different foundations to build on. So that's what's coming next week. So there's the Sermon on the Mount in whole. A big, big vision of who we're called to be. Three chapters where he applies that vision to all aspects of our lives. And then finally, an invitation to choose. And today, we're looking at the end of the body of the sermon. As Jesus transitions to this invitation to choose between foundations and paths, Jesus wraps it up this way. We're looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. This is what he says. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. For which one of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who's in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Why does Jesus end the main body of his sermon in this way? You need to imagine hearing this entire thing in one sitting. And as Jesus begins to draw toward his conclusion, if you've been paying attention, you have to be saying to yourself, who can do all of these things? Who is sufficient for all of the things that Jesus calls us to? If you've been listening, you shouldn't have made it past the introduction without some sense of your need. Jesus says, for example, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, I don't know about you, but I can't keep myself humble for one whole day. He says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, meekness isn't natural to anyone I've ever met. The ability to be more concerned about other people's welfare than my own needs and concerns. I don't know anybody born that way. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. When you hear those things taught by Jesus, you have to be saying, Lord, I want to see God. I want to be pure in heart, but my heart just wanders all over the place. The body of the sermon doesn't lighten the load at all either. Jesus says our goodness should exceed that of the most disciplined, most moral, most religious people in our lives. And you can't fake it either, he says. It needs to proceed from the heart. In the body of the sermon, Jesus teaches about love and forgiveness and sincerity and purity and courage and a whole new set of priorities that should proceed from a changed heart. For example, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to you. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Then he says, while you're at it, by the way, don't get cocky. That's the start of chapter 7. Don't start looking down on each other while you do all these things and passing judgment on one another. And I mean, at some point in the Sermon on the Mount, if you're really listening and paying attention, you have to say to yourself, well, who can do all that? And moreover, the stakes are really high. I hope you haven't missed this as we've been teaching through the sermon. The stakes are really high. It's the kingdom of heaven. It's whether you'll see God or not. So what we're not allowed to do, what Jesus will not permit, is for us to say, I don't want to deal with this. He doesn't know my life. He doesn't really know me. I'm not going to deal with this and distract ourselves with other things. He's just not going to allow that. So what are we supposed to do? And Jesus gives us the answer. And this is such good news. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. This is great news. You might be saying to yourself, well, what if I'm not asking for the right things? What if I'm not seeking? I mean, there's so many other things that come into my mind right away. Look, just ask for that then. Ask that you'll ask the right things. Ask that you'll seek the right things. Because 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this: His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Let me read that again. His power has granted to us everything that we need for life and godliness. Everything we need for life. In other words, all the wisdom that we need for navigating the day-to-day issues of life, they're right there. Everything that we need for godliness. In other words, everything that our souls crave, everything we were really made for, the power to change, it's all right there. And all we need to do is ask. All that we're asked to do is to seek, keep knocking. So what do you need today? What is it that you need to love your wife, to love a wayward daughter, to take care of your anger and put away lust and all these other things that Jesus talks about? He tells us here, ask. Ask, seek, and knock. Everything that we need is available. I have a friend in my life that I was talking with this week who is just really struggling to understand his stepson. What should he do? Jesus tells us, ask. Ask for what you need. Seek after it. Keep knocking. I have another friend that texted me this week. He's trying to understand how to encourage his wife without coming off as preachy and self-righteous. What husband hasn't been there? Jesus says, look, ask. It's an amazing, amazing promise. Jesus wants us to keep asking, seeking, and knocking because everything that we need to do what he's called us to do is right there. And the Father wants to give it to us. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this about the passage we're looking at today. He says, I cannot imagine a better, more cheering, or more comforting statement with which to face all the uncertainties and hazards of our life in this world than that contained in Matthew 7:7 through 11. It is one of the most gracious promises to be found in the whole Bible. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Amazing promise. I cannot imagine a better, more cheering, more comforting statement with which to face all the uncertainties of life. You can do this, even if you're 11 years old this morning. So I have an 11-year-old in my house. He just graduated from elementary school this week. Congratulations, Caleb. And like many of you, he's facing all the uncertainties of middle school. You can do this when you're only 11 years old. You can face all the uncertainties knowing that you have a father who sees you and wants you to just ask for what you need. You can do this when you're 18, 19 years old. If you're, you know, in that age range, your senior year maybe just vaporized in the last few months. We have no idea what the fall is going to look like. You don't know if you're going to have a college to go to or a tech school to go to or whatever it is. Jesus has something to say to you today. What do you need? What do you need? Just ask. Seek and you will find. If you're in a marriage this morning or a relationship that just does not make sense to you, you're struggling to love the person that you said you would love until you died, and you hear all the things that Jesus teaches about anger and divorce and loving your enemy and worry and all these other things, here's the promise. As Jesus comes to a close, ask, what do you need? Seek and you'll find, keep knocking and the door will be opened to you. I'm really excited because today, after I'm done here, my family and I are headed to the farm. One of my favorite places in the world. It's my birthday tomorrow, by the way. Happy birthday to me. And my birthday gift is going home, and I'm going to get to see my parents, my brothers, my family. And I am going to teach this weekend, I'm going to teach my oldest boy how to drive a tractor. I've been looking forward to this for 11 years, since the day he was born. He's about the age that I was when I learned to drive. And I'm gonna do just exactly what Jesus does here. I mean, you know, he's already got the big vision. Tractors are amazing. Imagine 175 horses right there in front of you. You can do anything with a tractor that you put your mind to. And here are the rules. So here's how you stay safe with all this power. And then, we're going to get on it. And here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to lay all this out in front of him and then put him in the seat and say, well, good luck. Don't hurt yourself or anybody else. No, that's not what good fathers do. I'm going to give him everything that he needs to be safe and to do what I've invited him to do because it's awesome. And that is what Jesus is saying here. We have a father. God is our Father, and he wants to help us do what he's called us to do. All throughout the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus has been teaching along, there's been this undercurrent the whole time of who do you really think God is? What do you really think that he's like? And Jesus' answer is, he's a Father that you can trust. He's not a genie that we get to command and all and everything like that, but he is a good and wise father. And he's not playing games with us. He's not messing around with us. He gives bread, not stones. If you ask him for a fish, he doesn't hand you a scorpion or a snake. Now multiply that by infinity, and that is the way that God feels about his children. So if you're watching this morning and you need something, ask, seek, and knock. Now maybe you're watching today and you say to yourself, well, I've tried that. Okay, I've tried the whole God thing and it's just not working. The relationship wasn't healed. The addiction didn't go away. I didn't get the job. Just whatever it is, I've tried the whole God thing and it didn't work. I just say, it always works. It always works. God always works. We just have to come to grips with who we're talking to and that his goals may not be exactly the same as ours. And good fathers, everybody knows this, good fathers do not always give everything that their children ask for or that they want. Every dad should just say amen. I want a pony. I want a new car. No, not everything that we ask for should be given. And sometimes, this is a little harder to understand, but sometimes good fathers don't even give what's needed right away. Now, I can think of many, many examples from my past of things I've asked God for but did not receive. And I can remember at the time seriously not comprehending how this good thing should not be given to me. And now in retrospect, I can look back and say, wow, that would have been really bad. Had I received what I'd asked for, it would have made me proud. It would have, you know, fed some aspect of my character that really doesn't need to be fed, and so on. I think we could probably all look back on our lives and say that. But sometimes, good fathers don't give even what's needed right away. What? Two reasons why sometimes even what we need doesn't appear right away. First, God wants us to realize what our real need is. How we ask for things, how we seek, and the perseverance with which we keep knocking is directly proportionate to how desperately we really feel what we need. And our need is always, from God's perspective, our need is always God above everything else. So I have a friend in my life this week who's been overwhelmed by anxiety and having, you know, something close to a panic attack. And I'm sure that it seems that what he needs right in the moment is freedom from that. And I've had to tell him, I've had to say, look, it may not actually be your greatest need right now. What if what God actually wants is for you to learn right in this moment how to rest your heart in his care? What if that's really what you need right now? Because we, you know, when we aren't who we want to be, when life is not going the way we think it should, we just want God to zap it and make it all better. And what God is saying is, actually, I have allowed this so that you would seek what you really need most, which is me. Second reason we don't sometimes get what we think we need right away is that we need to learn to persevere. These verbs, ask, seek, and knock, are not passive verbs. It is part of God's desire for you that we learn to show some unction, some moxie, a little toughness. God wants us to learn to persevere. Jesus teaches about this in a few other places. For example, in Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells the story of a woman, a widow, who's being treated unjustly by someone, and she's not getting what she wants from the judge, and so she just keeps going. She keeps nagging and nagging and nagging the judge until she finally gets what she wants. And Jesus says, do that. Be like that. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus uses almost the exact same language, ask, seek, and knock. He's teaching about prayer, and he tells the story of a man who's awakened in the dead of night by a visitor. And he has no food to share with him, so he goes to his neighbor, wakes his neighbor up, and in the dead of night, wakes him up and says, hey, I really need your help. And he keeps pounding on the door until he drives his neighbor crazy and finally gets what he needs. And Jesus says, you should pray that way. That's a picture of how you ought to pray. My grandmother is one of my heroes of the faith. Prayed for my grandpa for decades. And decades and decades, like close to 50 years. My grandmother prayed that my grandpa would come to know Jesus. And she had to persevere through a lot of things. I don't even know everything. And she didn't receive an answer to her prayer until after their 50th anniversary. 50 years. Why? Because I'm sure in year 5, it felt like a real need. It felt like something she needed right in the moment. Now, looking back on it, I'm sure she would say there are all kinds of things in her that God wanted to change, that God wanted to teach her. And she would testify, by the way, her testimony is that she never wavered in this belief. She sincerely believed that sometime after their 50th anniversary, my grandpa met Jesus and became a follower of Jesus. God is never slow. The Bible says God is never slow. He knows what he's doing, and he loves his children. And he will always do what is best. He never gives a stone, but only bread. And what father doesn't want his children to develop some gumption, some staying power, and strength of heart? Well, all of this begs the question, so how does God become my father? In the conclusion of the sermon, Jesus is going to present us with two paths, two different foundations. And Jesus says, we have a decision to make. Which path will you follow? So that's Jesus' invitation. If you want God to be your father, Tim Porter will teach more about this next week. Build your life on everything that I'm saying. But here's the really good news this morning. The Bible says that even as Jesus calls us to seek him, it says that God is actually seeking you. Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. But elsewhere he says, the Father is the one that's actually seeking you. Jesus came, he says, because the Father is seeking people like you. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you've done, and whatever's been done to you, Jesus says that the really good news is that the Father is seeking people like you. He says elsewhere that he's actually knocking on the door of your heart. So as you're listening today, whoever you are, if you're feeling a pull on your heart right now, to begin asking, to begin seeking, it's actually because the Father is seeking you. He's the one doing that to you. And I encourage you, give in. Give in. Be drawn to the Father. Maybe you're watching today and you have never prayed in your life, or at least it's been a long, long time. And you wouldn't even know how to ask. You wouldn't even know what to say. You don't know how to knock. Then that's what you tell him. This is my invitation to you. If you've never prayed, you're totally new to this whole thing, you're not even really sure what to make out of the things that I'm saying and teaching you this morning, that's what you tell God. Just 5 minutes a day this week, get alone and tell him that. Speak like you would to a father, a good and loving father. Say, God, I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to ask you for, but I want to know you. I want to learn how to seek the right things. I want to learn how to keep knocking. If your kid came to you and talked to you that way, wouldn't you be so delighted? So would your Father in heaven. If you're part of our Faith Community Church family, if you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, let me just ask you, how's your prayer life been these last few months? Not to shame anybody, but just to ask. We've had a lot of extra time. How's your prayer life been these last few months? What can you be asking for, seeking after, and knocking for? I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up, and I'm just going to share with you three things I want to invite you, Faith Community Church, three things I want to invite you to be asking for this week. Number one, if you don't know what else to be asking for, pray for our nation and our neighbors as the country begins to open up in the coming weeks. Pray for our leaders of every political persuasion. Ask that God would do something miraculous and amazing in the life of our nation as we emerge from this crisis. Ask God to do something that that could only happen in a context like this crisis. Second, pray for the mission of our church. You know, we had another person this week say yes to Jesus for the first time. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back to normal. I don't want this to end and we all just go back to how everything was before. I would love for this to be a new season of life in our church. Pray for the mission of our church. And third, I want to invite everyone watching, even if you're just following Jesus for the very first time this week, would you begin praying right now for just one family in your life? One family in your life that does not yet know who Jesus is. Let's pray for them every day this summer and ask that God would do something amazing in their lives, that he would bless and protect them, and that you would have opportunity to love them and to speak of Jesus with them. That's my invitation, my challenge to you. And as you do, just remember that we do it because, in fact, the Father is the one seeking us in the first place. And that's awesome news. I'm going to turn it back over to the team. Let's sing one more song as we close this morning.